Now we come again one more time to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and you'll find my text in verse 8. If you consider over these last few weeks, we have been considering the better things. Well, to conclude this little series, we turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Dear congregation, the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 1 verse 23, to be Christ, which is far better. And it will be, to be with him. The veil of tears for the believer now will be over, and so also will be the last valley. It will be far better, and for many other reasons it will be far better, to be in the immediate presence of Christ. Well, today we consider the better things. Verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And in light of what we just considered, how better it will be one day to be with Christ. Well, let's come directly to these words this morning, and I'd like us to consider four things. First of all, the oppression. Secondly, the battle. Thirdly, the trial. And fourthly, the valley. The oppression, the battle, the trial, the valley. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Come back with me to verse 7. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. And here we're led to consider oppression, and particularly here, injury, fraud, extortion, unjust gain. And sadly, men in times past, but even today, particularly in other countries, but not exclusively, have oppressed others. And some have bribed them, as we note at the end of the verse, with the gift. A gift destroyeth the heart. They have taken, they have oppressed, in order to gain. Children, remember Zacchaeus? That's what he did, wasn't it? He oppressed those that came to pass that way. He took more at times than he should have done. There's been a difficult path for many. We think that many Jews in Germany were used as a scapegoat for Germany's economic problems. And under Hitler, many lost their property. Sadly, some of the lost people even today are treated badly. They are oppressed, but they are not forgotten. In Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8, we read, if thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. The highest regardest. The Lord himself, he does not forget. In Psalm 33, verse 13, we read, the Lord looketh down from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. He looks down. He looks down on the hearts of all. He looks down on his people. He looks down on those who oppress others. He does not forget the oppressed people. He does not forget his poor people. He is a heavenly Father who cares for his people and provides. And if you face such, the Father will support. And in time, he will bring oppression to an end. And what do we read in verse 8? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. It is. And why does it come to an end? Because of the Lord. He does not forget. Psalm 72 verse 12, for he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that have no helper. He shall, because he's such a heavenly Father, but also such a loving Prince towards his people. Oppression will come to an end. It may be here upon earth, or it may be the Lord takes one home to heaven. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You think when oppression starts, whenever seek to oppress, it's not easy for the one who is the victim. Particularly we're thinking of the Lord's people. better is the end at that time, isn't it? When the oppression is over. The hardships are past. Consider how many of the Lord's people in North Korea are oppressed today. One day it will be far better for them. It may be. Liberty comes. It wasn't long ago when the Holy Spirit swept through Korea and there were so many converted and the church was blessed around 100 years or so ago. Days of great blessing, and that may return. The Lord may so work in Korea in the north and the oppression comes to the end, or it may be the Lord takes certain ones home. God is just. He will act. Deliverance will come. Evil will be put down. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Let's move on and consider secondly the battle. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. We think of oppression. We focused on that. How many have been oppressed in times of war? On the 28th of July, Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia, and there were the beginnings of the First World War. On the 1st of September 1939, Germany invaded Poland, initiating World War II. Wars have begun. Oppression has followed. Many battles were fought. Men went off to war and lives were lost, including a number who made this church their home in times of war. Many served at RAF Ypsilanti. Tears were shed. Empty chairs were found by the fireplaces. Many a long dark night. You know, we've struggled, have we not, through this pandemic? How many struggled in days of war, in days of battle, the long dark nights. A certain minister out in the graveyard, buried alongside his wife, was in London and spent many a time on the underground, in the Blitz. The battle begins. What do we read here? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Deliverance comes. What a blessing that is. Well, we think of the battle. Days of joy follow and thanksgiving. But let's consider now other battles. First of all, the battle with the devil. Now, as we think of this, what do we read in verse 8? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. The battle begins. There comes a season when the believer finds themselves in a fierce battle with the devil. And that happens. He's a roaring lion. He goeth about and he makes his attack, particularly on the Lord's people, particularly those who seek to stand faithful. The season comes. The battle commences. You remember Christ here upon earth in his humiliation. He faced a battle. There was that season recorded in Matthew 4. The devil came, verse 1. However, later we read, then the devil leaveth him. And we need to be aware as we consider what happened there. There are times when the devil draws near, particularly. There's a season, but there will be a leaving. Yes, we expect again. What do we read here? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Well, the devil drew near to the Lord. The devil will draw near. We're in a battle. There are the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6 verse 11. The wiles. What does it mean, young people, children? Literally to lie in wait. The craft. And so the devil. He lies in wait. There is his cunning. We're not ignorant of his devices. The fiery darts will come. In Ephesians 6 verse 16 we read, above all taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The fiery darts will come. There will be the temptations. There will be the whisper in your ear. Temptations will come. Fiery darts. It may be you're using the smartphone or the computer. And suddenly an advert pops up. You weren't looking for it, but it pops up. And now a temptation arises. A temptation to lust. How the devil can sow doubts in your ear. We're in a battle. How we need to keep the armor on. I remember at middle school we had to reenact the Normans, and I was a Norman. Had to make a helmet, a sword, and a shield. And we had to carry the shield. How important it is that we carry the shield. We need the armor on. We need to lift up the shield of faith. We need to exercise faith and look to our captain. The captain of the hosts of the Lord, as we see in Joshua. We're to look to him. We're to focus on him. How important that is. When did you last recognize you were in a battle? Sometimes it can be a little quieter. That's how it is at times. But then suddenly, the devil makes his approach, and the beginning of a little conflict commences. Look to the Lord. Lift up the shield of faith. Believe him. It is written. Believe the promises. Believe the word of God. Now there are these seasons. And Satan will back away a little. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But he comes back. Sometimes it's not too long. You think of a lion out in Africa. There's been these water holes, and certain ones have set up cameras. And the lion, he stalks in the night time. He comes near the water hole. He desires a drink, but also he's on the hunt. He goes off. But then maybe the same night, or the next day, or a few days later, the lion comes back. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, remember this, the lion comes back. We're not ignorant of his devices. But one day the battle will be over. Maybe the season we're facing when the devil is so active. But one day the battle will be over completely. Satan will not be able to hurt us in heaven. No fiery dart will come towards us. You'll never hear the roar of the lion as you bask in the presence of the Lord in heaven. William Gurnall wrote, "Heaven fears no devil. Heaven fears no devil. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning, and it will be. Yes, seasons pass, but the devil roars still again. But when we're there, oh, how wonderful. Heaven fears no devil. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." But let's consider secondly here, the battle with sin. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. When we were justified, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, all our sins were pardoned. And we were accepted as righteous for the righteousness of Christ, which was imputed. We read in Romans 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Justified. All our sins pardoned. Accepted. What a blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And what's the first blessing or benefit named in Psalm 103:3? Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. See, there's an eye there to justification in that psalm. We're justified, but we weren't made perfect. And there's indwelling sin. And we won't be rid of indwelling sin till death. One day, we will say goodbye to sin. But here, we battle. And we're to engage in the battle. In Romans 7 verse 23 we read, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind." This war, this warring within, it's sin, isn't it? There's this war, the attack, literally. The troops of sin march around your heart, and you need to say no. The battle arises. There's a war that takes place in your heart. And how we can forget that. We should never be a peacemaker with sin. We should never excuse our sin. We're giving in when we do. When you say, but oh, it's just me, you're giving in. There's a sinful peacemaking in your heart. Sadly, at times one can yield to temptation. We comply with the enemy of sin. That's what we see in Romans 7, this warring. There's this battle, there's this war, the enemy has come. And sadly at times we stumble and we comply with the enemy of sin. But when there's this warring in the heart, we need to take action. You remember Joseph? In Genesis we read, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master, what if not what is with me in the house? And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How then can I? Every day the temptation came and there was the war. Joseph did not comply with sin. He said no. How we need to say no more often. Let me ask you, when did you last really deal and say no? There's a battle. Sometimes we can be sleeping in the battle. Oh, we need to be awake. We need to view more the holiness of God and his person and his law. Battle hard. Maybe a besetting sin. Battle hard. At times we yield. There's not a day that passes when we don't sin. But oh, to battle more. To battle hard. How we need to pray for help. In times of war, those on the front lines serving were calling for assistance. The enemy was in front of them. They were surrounded. Sometimes you're surrounded by sin in front of you. Call in for assistance from above. Battle hard. The Lord will help. But one day that battle with sin will be over. Just read verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. The battle commences. And it's hard going, isn't it? And we stumble, we're injured in the battle, we yield to temptation. But one day, it will be over. It may be that you're battling with some sin and you've yielded, but then one day, you say no with that particular sin. It may be that you have to battle again with it next day. But one day, the battle totally will be over. What do we read in Hebrews 12, verse 23? To the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. One day the battle will be over. The valley will come, we'll note that in a moment. But at the end of the valley, the battle is over. Perfection. That will be so wonderful, won't it? Perfection. When we get to see Jesus. And I'm so thankful that when I see Jesus in heaven, I will be perfect. Sin won't be a hindrance. I won't be chastised in heaven. When I see Jesus, I will be perfect. My attention will be so fixed on him. No distraction, no fiery dart will come when I see Jesus. No wonder we read here, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. What a day when the battle will be over. No more sin. We think in Revelation 21 of the former things that are the present things. But one day they will be the former things. What a blessing when it will be the former thing. Sin makes us weary, like the soldier on the front line. It disturbs, it has its consequences, but one day it will be past. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. But then thirdly, as we think of the battle for Christ. In that well-known psalm, Psalm 24, we read in verse 8, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The King of glory, the glorious King, who is the Lord of glory," as the apostle makes plain in Corinthians. Who is this King of glory? Who is it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord strong and mighty. The help we needed was laid on him that was mighty. Psalm 89 verse 19. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. We think of him who fought in a battle, as we see in Psalm 24. Is the victorious King coming home to heaven, but also the King setting up his throne in the heart of the believer. Oh, the glorious King. Here upon earth he faced a battle. The battle was Satan. We've already considered that this morning in Matthew 4. But you remember how the battle intensified in the Garden of Gethsemane. As the Lord foretold it would intensify there. The prince of this world cometh. What a battle, a bruising attack there in the Garden of Gethsemane and there on the cross as well. Oh, Satan battles, and the Lord had to face that battle. In Genesis 3 verse 15 we read, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." What a battle, a fierce battle. Jesus held his ground and defeated him through the death of himself upon the cross. In Hebrews 2 verse 14 we read, "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Oh, that power to destroy. We consider what the Lord did, rendered useless. Yes, he's a foe. But all Satan now cannot stop one being saved as he could not then. Ineffectual calling. There's a battle. Well, our Lord faced that battle with the devil. But then he faced that battle with sin and the other enemy, death. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 36 we read, "The sting of death is sin." Sin presented itself to our Lord every time he said no. Every time he said no. And then he faced death, but he was victorious over death. Death could not keep him. He rose victoriously. Our Lord had to face that battle. He must suffer and die. We read in Isaiah 53 verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." My spotless Lamb, my spotless Redeemer, was charged with my sin, and he suffered for my sins. But then the battle was over. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. We think of the humiliation of Christ, what he had to suffer. But then his humiliation on the first day of the week gave way to his exhortation. And I am so thankful the battle is over for Christ. Are you? When you consider it was your sins that meant he had to face the battle, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful the battle is past now. We see that in Psalm 24, do we not? Who is this King of glory? The one mighty, victorious in the battle. The battle is past. He's the victorious captain. And because of him, there is freedom in him. And there is liberty in the gospel. For the believer, there is no bondage under the tyranny of Satan. Because Christ fought that battle and was victorious. Thirdly this morning, the trial. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. It's not all plain sailing, is it? There are times when we face a storm or a season of affliction. I remember as a boy going over to the Isle of Wight. Sometimes the Solent was like a mill pond. Lovely, but it wasn't always. And my dad and mum said, well, we're going to catch the ferry. We're going to have a holiday with my mum's brother. The beginning of the trip, the storm clouds. Then we got out into the Solent and the ferry went up and down. The captain at the beginning of the voyage made an announcement. It's going to be a little choppy today. So we're going to tie down the cars. Of course, that put me into fear. I was so glad to get to Cowes on the Isle of Wight. The storm was still raging, but the journey was past. It's not all plain sailing, is it? Psalm 107, verse 25, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Afflictions come, and often one after another. Sometimes just a little breathing space, just a little clear water, as it were, but then another storm comes, and it's hard work. Psalm 107, verse 26, they mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. I remember a few years ago watching sailors on the Atlantic convoy in the Second World War. Mountainous seas and waves. And there those experienced sailors had to hold on to a rope on the side of the ship as they went about their business. And as we go about our business at times, how we need to hold on. Not to a rope, but to our captain. For it's hard work, isn't it? We stagger. And at times we can be at our wit's end. We come to that point with our wit's end. What next, Lord? I remember a pastor's wife coming up to me after preaching in South Wales. Sometimes we're at a point, even now. What way next, Lord? And we get to that point. But then the Lord brings us to consider the way is to look up and rest in him. But the affliction comes. And it's not easy, is it? Maybe one day you wake up and you feel unwell. You feel sick. Thankfully, I haven't felt like that for years. What a blessing that is. But some days you may feel unwell. It may be you visit the doctor for a routine checkup and something's discovered. It may be you're in an accident. My father used to go jogging every week. And sometimes I would join him in the evening. One particular evening he went out on his own and he was back late. He was running along in the pathways in Totten. And somebody had taken away the signpost to warn of danger, of a big hole. And my father just ran down this path and he fell down this big hole. Accidents happen. How thankful we ought to be. How the Lord has kept us so much, but we do face accidents, don't we? It may be some mental trial comes. Some season of depression or anxiety or something else. And you know it's coming. You know you're sinking. The season has arrived. It may be a difficult path. A pathway of persecution. It may be for a local congregation they face difficulties for a season. Leanness. Discouragement. Remember those words of Peter? We've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. We've toiled all night. Afflictions keep coming. Like the waves of the sea, they roll in upon us. I'm sure you, like me, like just to go down to the beach sometimes and just look at the waves. Sometimes on a calm day, but also maybe on a bit of a stormy day. And you see these waves coming in. Some of you have been to Lyme Regis. And the waves come in and they hit the wall. And if you're not careful, you can get wet, can't you? As the spray comes over. And then you have to quickly hide again as the next wave comes in. Well, trials often just keep coming in, one after another. The end of the trial is better, isn't it? Even though the Lord uses trials for our good, and trials can be sanctified, And we can say with the psalm, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. We learn much in the school of grace, don't we? Most of all, to lean on the Master. That's a precious lesson, isn't it? To come to a point, Lord, there's nothing else but to trust Thee. But one day the trial will be over. It may be here upon earth. Psalm 107, they got to their desired haven after a stormy time. And it may be that there's a haven for you, a place you're thinking of, a time of calm, maybe when you're not so low in your thoughts or so anxious or so distressed. That's the haven you desire here upon earth. And the Lord may bring it to you. He bring you to that point. But another storm comes. But then one day, we will be on the golden shore of heaven. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Oh, how far better is the end than the beginning. You think of some trial that you face, maybe personally. You're looking forward to the end. And you can testify it will be better. I wasn't expecting that trial in my life, but I entered that season of affliction. One day it's going to be over. Better. I've learned lessons on the way, but it will be far better at the end of the trial. And then fourth thing, finally this morning, the valley. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. One day we will enter the last valley. We read of it in Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yes, we can think of other valleys. You think of those who fought in times of war and survived. They were on the front line. They landed on the beaches. They fought in Germany. And they saw their comrades fall. Yet they carried on. It was like a valley, and there was the shadow of death over the valley. How difficult it was for them. But we think particularly there of the last valley. I walk through the valley. And one day we will come to the valley. And we must walk through that valley. How apt these words are. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better. The valleys come. And the darkness is growing. There's the shadow, as we see in Psalm 23, verse 4. And that simply means it won't be easy walking. It may be one has faith and it's strong, but the body is weak. And so it's not easy walking. It may be one is strong in the body, but they're struggling by exercising faith. Either way, it won't be easy. We think of the valley. In the Hebrew, it speaks of a gorge with lofty sides, a place where waters flow. The contrast is the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters, but the valley will come. That place of straits where there is the flowing waters, it's not easy walking. Going forward, the darkness has come. It's not easy walking. The valley. In Derbyshire, there's a certain walk, the Monsall Trail. And you come to a tunnel. You enter the tunnel, and I know some of you have walked through that tunnel. It becomes dark. It's quite a long tunnel. You walk on. You have your spouse, or your mum or dad, or a friend next to you. You walk on. And then you come to the end. What a view, those of you who have walked that trail. What a view it is. Of the dells, the colours in the autumn, the sunshine. Better is the end. It's a hard valley, but one day we will get to the end. Oh, the light in heaven. We'll know when we get to heaven. We'll know when death is past because of the light of heaven. And particularly because of Jesus, who is the light of the world. The valley gives way to a wonderful sight. Not easy walking in the valley, but what a wonderful sight awaits. No trials then, either. No sorrows, no pain, as you gaze at heaven, but most of all, you gaze at Jesus. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. How wonderful it will be to enter the heavenly world. What delights, what food awaits us in the heavenly world. There was an old Scottish-American minister who a number of years ago said in a sermon in Salisbury, he hopes there are mangoes in heaven, in the heavenly world, because he couldn't think of the heavenly world without mangoes. Well, we will wait to see. Such delights. It will be like a wedding feast every day. A few months ago, we went to a wedding in Plymouth. There was a wedding meal, a wedding feast. Lovely food, delicious food, chocolate puddings. What else could you want for? Oh, think of the wedding feast in heaven. What joy and happiness we will know as we dine with Christ. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. The valley has passed, heaven awaits, and in one day the heavenly world. Can you look forward to the end, knowing it will be better? Knowing that the end of the valley will be better for you? Do you all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, better the end it will be. May the Lord bless us for his name's sake.